from Galatians chapter 3. Now, we're going to compare, like I was saying earlier, we're going to compare this doctrine of works and under the law and circumcision to the doctrine of once saved, always saved. And we're going to see how they both produce the same kind of chilling effect, where one focuses you back to the working by the nature of the flesh, the other encourages you to live in a presumption by the nature of the flesh. But either way, you're living by that nature. Whether it be a condemnation of works or whether it be a presumption, you know, of fleshly thinking. Either way, it produces the same chilling effect on your faith. Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Now, what point is he trying to make by this, by telling them, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified? He's trying to make the point from the same point he made in Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. And the point is that newness of life is the divine nature, right? How many of you understand that? Let me know that you hear what I'm saying. That newness of life is the nature of the Holy Spirit. It is the nature of Christ in you. You're free to walk according to that nature now because you consider yourself dead with Christ. So it's through his crucifixion that you are free. Let me say that again. It's through his crucifixion that you are free. You're free from the flesh. You're free from the works of the law. You're free from the works of the flesh to try and earn anything. You're free from the flesh having its tentacles on you to drag you back down. You're free from its tyranny. You're free from its slavery. You're free from being a slave to your own desires. By considering yourself dead with Christ through faith, then the Holy Spirit has the power to lift you up to a new nature. Right? How many of you see what I'm saying here? So Paul starts out by telling them, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." So that means if Jesus is crucified, who else is crucified? If Jesus is crucified, who else is crucified? We are. Exactly. So if Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified, then why are you still trying to work out of that nature that you call dead with Christ? Why are you still trying to please God according to that nature when it's considered dead with Christ? That's your faith. You see the point he's making?
Before you realize,
Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, working out of that nature under the law, or by believing what you heard? You see the point? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Now, so when you receive that Spirit, here's the focus. You received whose nature? Whose nature did you receive? Whose nature did you receive? Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Whose nature did you receive then? You received the nature of righteousness, the nature of Christ, right? And if you received that nature, you could have only received that nature if, by faith, you considered yourself crucified with Christ. Let me ask you, could you have received that nature of Christ, the Holy Spirit, unless you considered yourself dead with him first? Now remember, we're talking about what we have by faith. No. So if Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified, Paul says, I'd like to ask you this one question. Did you receive the Spirit, that new nature, by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Which did you do? Did you receive it by continuing in that nature to try to please God, or did you receive it by dying to that nature, by believing what you heard? By dying to that nature, exactly. Are you so foolish that after beginning with the Spirit of Christ, that new nature, you're now trying to attain your goal by human effort? If you go back to try to keep the law that we said Christ fulfilled on our behalf, and that we're counted dead with Him, that we may be counted alive to that new nature, if we go back under the law and circumcision, aren't we trying to serve God out of that new nature? I mean, out of that old nature. Which is impossible. That old nature can't please God. That's why it's dead. And if you're going to return back like a dog to his vomit to that way, then the Spirit is of no avail to you. And that's the whole point he wants to make here. Well, let me talk about what this has in common with once saved, always saved. Remember, it clearly portrays here that what we have in Christ's crucifixion is that we, through faith, are dead with Him. You're not actually dead. Through faith, you're dead. That way you can be alive to Him by faith, right? Now, does it stop the minute you receive that nature? You know what I'm saying? Does your life of faith stop the minute you receive that nature? Or is that only to enhance your faith? So what happens if you think of yourself as not needing a Savior anymore once you've received that nature? Then you go back and put yourself in the old nature, don't you? If you think you don't need a Savior, well, I've received Jesus as my Savior. See, both of them are saying the same thing, aren't they? That we can go back and live life according to that old nature. One thinks that you can earn it with that old nature. The other thinks you're free to go back and live according to that nature. Either way, you're going, you know, either way, both of them are about living under that nature. Right? How many of you see this point? You see how one, even though they err in separate directions, it puts you in the same place. One is puts you back under the condemnation of the law, the other puts you in presumption of grace. Well, I've already made it. It's all done. Right? Can you see what once saved, always saved does in common with this? Do you really see it yourself? Either way, it's about going back to that nature. Now listen. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Well, that verse applies to once saved, always saved. Well, now that I've received Jesus, I can go and just live any way I want to. What would that be? Would that be human effort or not? If you receive Jesus and believe in the once saved, always saved doctrine, now that I've said the pretty words, I'm saved, I don't need a Savior anymore. I've received Jesus. Now I can live any way I want. So what nature are you returning to if you say that? You're returning to that old nature, aren't you? Either way. Isn't that clear? So once saved, always saved has great much in common with living according to the law by human nature. You're trying to attain your goal by human effort. You've forgotten that it's only through Christ's righteousness, not yours, that you're brought to God through faith. Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Well, we could say this, we're once saved, always saved, in a different way, couldn't we? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you said the pretty words? Because you believed once? Or does He does it because you believe, continuing, believe what you've heard? You see the point? Exactly. You need to continue in faith. So, getting back to this, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, here's where we get to the truth. I want you to see how much these two things have in common, even though they're different doctrines. All right? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. And the point he's trying to make by we're children of Abraham is because, like Abraham, we're credited with righteousness. If you're credited with righteousness, then that righteousness is not your own, is it? If it was credited to you, you didn't earn it. It was given. That's grace. If righteousness is credited to you, whose righteousness is it? Let's look at that word credited for a minute. I want you to think about it. Say, a lender has money, right? A lender has money, and a borrower needs money. Let's say we were the borrowers, and Christ is the lender. All right? Let's make this in a way you can understand it. All right, Christ lent us His righteousness because He's rich in it. We were borrowers of that righteousness because we have none of our own. Can you see that? How many of you see that? Christ is the lender, and we're the borrower. Now, once you received what He lent, is it yours or do you still have a price on it? Once you receive what He lent, is it yours? Or does He still have a hold on it? Until the lender is paid off, the borrower is still beholden to Him, isn't it? Well, isn't it true that a lot of people who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, once they receive Him as the payment for their sins, then they start to believe that they're autonomous, that they can act as they choose, that nobody has a hold on them anymore. Right? Isn't that true? Isn't that the way a lot of Christians act? So they start with Jesus' nature, and they go back to living by their own nature, saying, well, I've been saved. Isn't that have a lot in common with the people under the law? They start off with faith through Jesus Christ, but then they go back and start trying to please God by that flesh nature. Either way, they go back to that nature, right? So listen to it. If righteousness is credited to you, it ain't your righteousness. It's His. That means you've got to remain in fellowship with Him until it becomes yours. Just like the borrower has to maintain a relationship with the lender until the lender's paid off. You see that? The borrower needs to maintain a respectful relationship with the lender until the lender's paid off, right? Well, you right now, you've been credited with righteousness, but you have no righteousness of your own. And as a matter of fact, it tells us here in Galatians 5, and listen to it, all right. Brothers, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Don't use that freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That tells you that you still have that nature to deal with, right? It is for freedom, chapter 5, verse 1, that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Because whether it be once saved, always saved, or whether it going back under the law, you're putting yourself under that nature. The minute you say that I don't need Jesus anymore, right? Whether it be out of presumption or condemnation of the law, the minute you say you don't need Jesus anymore, you put yourself back under that nature, don't you? And therefore, I'm back under a yoke of slavery. And Paul says, mark my words, Paul tell you, if you let yourself be circumcised, or I can say, if you let yourself believe in the once saved, always saved doctrine, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised, or put under that doctrine of once saved, always saved, that he's obligated to obey the whole law, or he's obligated to live as if he is truly saved. Huh. if he's going to claim that he's righteous now, then he better live a righteous life. But you see, in your current state, apart from Christ lending you his righteousness, you stand by grace. You can't live a righteous life of yourself. Right? You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. Well, guess what? Those who follow once saved, always saved, also alienate themselves from Christ because they believe they can stand now without Jesus' righteousness. They've already been saved. See? You have fallen away from grace, and both of them have. Both of them have. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. You ain't got it. You have it by faith. The Holy Spirit dwells in your heart by faith, and that is the righteousness of God. You have righteousness by faith. It's not your righteousness, it's God's righteousness. When will you receive your righteousness? We await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. The resurrection of the dead. Yeah, it's kept in heaven for you, isn't it? You see the point? So these two doctrines have a great deal in common in the fact that they have the same chilling result on faith and the same end to them, walking by the sinful nature to death. Let me say that again. These two doctrines, whether it be going back under the law and leaving grace, or whether it be once saved, always saved, which pulls you out of grace, because it tells you you can live by the sin nature and you don't need a Savior anymore. You're not standing in grace if you don't need a Savior anymore. Only sinners stand in grace and have a borrowed righteousness or a credited righteousness. You have righteousness credited to you right now. The Holy Spirit is a deposit of that credit. But you won't have a righteousness of your own till the resurrection of the dead. So you are a sinner standing in grace. There is no other way to see it. And so you can see these two doctrines have the exact same chilling effect upon faith. Because they both put you back under the slavery to the sin nature. One tells you it's all done, and if you're not going to walk according to that nature, because you can't, right? You can't. Well, I'm saved, now I can live any way I want to. It puts you back under the sin nature, doesn't it? And the other says that you can please God by the flesh. Once you've received Jesus, you go back to the means of the flesh. Both of them have the same chilling effect on faith. Both of them put you back in that nature. And this is what Christians really need to see. Right? And so he goes on. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. The Scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Who justifies you? God. Well, under the law, if you leave grace and that righteousness that's given to you, credited to you through grace, if you leave grace to stand on your own, whether it be back to go back under the works of the law or to claim that you're already saved and it's all done and now you can live how you choose, either way, you go back to that unrighteous nature, don't you? And find yourself again a slave to it. Right? You've forgotten that it is God who justifies you, not you, in either case. Now, so understand this. The way you can find out that this is true is we can read over here in Romans 8. Listen to this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Now, can you see that that not only happens to those under the condemnation of the law, who leave grace to go back to be law keepers, but it also has the same effect on people once saved, always saved. Because once they say they've received Jesus, they don't need a Savior anymore. What nature are they going to walk by? If they claim, I received Jesus and I don't need a Savior anymore, He's my Savior, I'm all done, I'm saved. What nature are you going to walk by now? They're going to go back to their own, aren't they? Now I can live and I can sin, and I don't have to lose that, it's forever. Now I can walk by that nature. But it tells you exactly contradictory in Scripture that those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. See, God is their King. Anybody who is truly walking by the nature of Christ walks by God's voice. They walk by the leading of the Spirit, never by the leading of the flesh. So if you think you're saved and then you can live any way you want to and still have salvation, just look at what nature you're walking by. The mind of sinful mind is death. Sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Controlled. That means you got a soul of that nature, huh? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You see that? And that's what they do. They put themselves back under the sinful nature in both these ways. And so whether it be condemnation of going back under the law, like these people in Galatians did, or whether it be presumption, either way, you put yourself back under the sinful nature and its clutches, and you alienate yourself from Christ because you leave grace. You no longer depend upon His nature. You see the point? And if you no longer depend upon His nature, then you sow to that nature of the flesh, because that is your nature. And that should show you who you're of. And that's the blindness of this once saved, always saved doctrine. Amen? It's a good place to stop.